Yo, what's good in the hood? It's your boy, TWI, dollar sign T, Uncle Twist in the mix,
What's good? It's your boy Sincere, aka Sin, aka Sin Simma. Who got the keys to the Beamer?
You already know the boy get busy. You ask who is he? It's your boy Tizzy. Showtime, you already know what it is, man and podcast all day.
Follow the Man Dem Podcast at Man Dem Podcast. That's Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Toronto West End, Dunno.
Glaciers of Ice has officially hit the city, man. Brr. Oh, man. Timberlands, sweatpants, PAU sweatpants. See what I did there? Y'all go and cough up, man, on
Shameless
the website.
Plug, www.politicsasusual.ca.
Yeah,
we haven't said that in a minute since the intros and stuff.
That's true, yeah. But, you know, we got to shameless plug that shit and, you know, self-branding and all that. We got to make sure the masses know what we're on.
All day.
Yeah, but let's just get right into it, man. It's a real somber, you know, Debbie Downer. A lot of ways to put it. We lost a magnificent human being this week, a giant, a real life superhero.
And you know what? We were more before because this is, you guys need to understand, like, this is your guy when it comes to the dude that we're about to mention. But just watching the I'm not gonna give up who we're speaking about too early, but watching this man's life. Because this man was, like, well into his 90s, right?
Definitely.
But the only thing promised in life is death. Nothing's promised to you. Like, somebody could, I mean, like, shake on a deal with you and then rescind that within a matter of hours. You know what I mean? Like, you could be in a relationship and you can fall in love with somebody and fall out of love with them quickly as that, right?
The only thing
promised in life is death. It's what you do with the time between all that that God gives you is what matters. And I can say that, yo, this man did nothing short of living. Like, just his impact on pop culture and just society and just, you know what I mean, on grown men and celebrities and just the genres of generations of kids from, you know what I mean? But from your 8-year-old to your 50, 60-year-old, that's an enthusiast at that. Like, this man's life is exactly how you want your life to be lived. He's going to be celebrated. I mean, like, obviously, and it's so funny, too, because it's one of those things we knew was coming just, you know, because of Mother Time, right? But
yeah.
When it happened, it felt like a gut punch. Like, I've been sucker punched before. I mean, those people have been fucked up, but I've been sucker punched. When you get sucker punched, it's something you never saw coming.
Nah.
Like that blow. And, you know what I mean, for the man that, you know what I mean, Twist is going to school y'all on, because I know a lot of y'all don't know, and they're about to learn today. This man lived. And that's our generation of role model, and that's a real life superhero. You understand what I'm saying? Because he laid down blueprints and foundations of just how to maneuver throughout society and just through character building and stuff like that. We were taught things that hold true value morally and ethically, you know what I mean? So salute for that, man, for everything he's done for us. And again, nothing is promised in life other than death. It's what you do with the time given is what you'll be held accountable for and what people remember you for. So I'm going to pass it back. Forgive me.
No need to apologize, man. And if you don't know who we're referring to by now, we're talking about the late, great Stanley Martin Lieber, which was his birth name, better known as Stan Lee. December 28th, 1922, this is when this man came into the world.
Jeez.
And he was destined for great things, obviously. He started, obviously, as a comic book writer, editor, and publisher, jumped off those pages are some of the most influential things and just making kids' imaginations, mine included, growing up, just can't run rampant, you know what shit. I mean?
Can't argue that shit.
And this is, we're not even going to get into, you know, the MCU and movies, because that's more in the tail end, so we're just talking about growing up, you know, as a youngin.
Because MCU started kicking in, the first one was 2008? No, before that.
2008 with Iron Man.
Iron Man was
but
the first
then, you
one.
Know, obviously yeah. before the Fox acquisition of the Spider-Man and X-Men franchises, he made cameos in those movies, too.
So yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
much
yeah.
early 2000s, more or less.
Yeah.
So, a lot of he's the face of Marvel, the godfather of Marvel, however you definitely want to coin it.
That.
Even though, you know, he has had longtime co-collaborators in Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, who brought a lot of these characters to life, a lot of the ones that we know and love, whether it be Spider-Man, you know, X-Men, that whole squad, to like we
the
mentioned
Invincible
earlier,
Iron Man.
Thor, Hulk, Fantastic Four, Black Panther, which crushed numbers,
jeez.
You know, with that video, Daredevil, you already see what that's doing with Netflix, Doctor Strange, the list goes on. So, you know, just to really start things off, like I said, with Stan Lee, the fact that even though, you know, he passed at the age that he passed, he always stayed to his roots, and that's just making, like, his imagination and that anything is possible. And that resonated with me a lot, really got me into comic books. I wasn't the most comic book big reader, but I appreciated what they offered, you know what I mean? It made you think freely, a free spirit, and just think that anything was possible, that nothing was, no task basically wasn't able to be surmounted. You know, Fox, man. You know, Saturdays, Fox, man. That was my lick, man.
Like, yo,
Fox, man. These kids don't even know.
I feel like, and then you saying that too is like, man, like, for Saturdays, for me, it's like, I'm probably not still like 1, 2 in the afternoon. And that's because I'm watching friggin' X-Men.
Yep. One of the illest intros, by the way, ever.
Facts. I'm watching Spider-Man. Again, I'm getting my dose of inside stuff for the Marvel shot.
Yep.
You know, like, the programming was geared towards us, man. And then even like when we started getting BET, you know what I mean, where we had like Teen Summit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But like the cartoon factor never got eliminated for me.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? And Jesus. That's why I look at the programming now, because like a lot of this entitled generation, they're talking about, oh, and I mean, like, the old heads always saying this, the old heads always saying that. I mean, like, only the old heads. But yeah, like, what are you guys going to say? I mean, like, what do you really have to go back on and claim as yours?
Because
all I'm seeing nowadays is just trying to recreate a bunch of shit from the past.
Rehash, yeah, exactly.
You know, they're trying to bring back old-fashioned trends or revamp movies and series. Like, that shit all originates from late 80s, early 90s.
Of course.
So when the old heads, as you want to call them, are talking, maybe you should fucking listen.
Yeah.
We never had to have anybody, you know what I mean, like, talk to us and, like, ram down our throats the point of emphasis of how something was, because we experienced that in the moment.
In lifetime, yeah.
You know what I mean? We woke up on Saturday and got to take in these cartoons, and, you know what I mean, we got to experience, you know what I mean? Because even when you look at the evolution of graphics, like, what the fuck? Like, look at some of these video games and, you know what I mean, some of the movie graphics compared to, like, our graphics, our green screen. Even something like Power Rangers. I'm so offended. Not even mildly offended. I'm highly offended, insulted our intelligence with such horrible fucking graphics. You understand what I'm saying? But that's what we had and that's what we worked with.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
The times were a reflection of that.
So even going back to a lot of them, like, even something like Power Rangers or wherever that may be, like, you know, Bucky O'Hara or wherever, like, a lot of those guys.
Yeah, man, this guy brought me back with that one.
How my young boys say, right? But all those guys got their blueprint from Stan the Man.
Of course.
Right? Just like how everything you watch on TV, if you like Power or whatever the hell it is, everyone got their blueprint from The Wire.
Yep.
You always have that one essential thing that everyone can just...
That plucks and takes a little bit from.
Pluck it,
yeah.
And you take a little bit from. But you need to understand the importance of Stan Lee, because even for me, which I hope people just stop taking things for like the surface value of things, because X-Men try to teach us about not being ignorant towards things we don't understand, whether that's just cultural differences, or people that come in different shapes or sizes. Yep. It's like
testing people's moral compass.
You feel threatened by things that you're not familiar with.
Yep.
So your first thing is just a natural hatred from within. You don't even understand where it comes from. It's hatred just towards something that you don't understand, which is also just, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like what the X-Men did was just, the mutants were like different races. It was just society felt so threatened because of something they're not familiar with. So, people fear what they can't understand, hate what they can't conquer. Right? Yep. That's what Nas says.
Yep.
It's just a theory of men. Right? But X-Men and these cartoons had so many gems. And like life lessons, and of course you like the fight scenes and everything that lines up like that. But when you're really looking into the character building aspect of this and just the plots of the stories and stuff,
that's when you can really appreciate
being taught.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying?
Life lessons.
Yeah, even through something through X-Men can make you be more receptive towards different cultures and races, for the people you deal with every day. Whether your nose is sensitive to smell when someone brings, in the lunchroom, the cafeteria, someone may have sushi,
mm-hmm.
one person may have, some curry, There's all these different foreign smells. So the natural thing for most people is what the fuck is that? Get that shit away.
Yeah.
Just ignorant, right? You're essentially kind of bullying somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you don't really care to taste that, just coming from the watching X-Men and just seeing how the things that are different cultures and things has had to learn to coincide, other than Magnetos and all that. But you're like, what is that? Because having a working knowledge of anything will defeat any type of ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? So X-Men and Stan Lee, because that guy had like ample amounts of love in his heart, man.
Oh, yeah.
When he spoke.
Yeah.
That's like he wanted the best for just the human race and society. His TikTok never changed.
Nope, same tune, man.
I felt like he never, even if that man was dealing with things, like we didn't know of it. We got the same variation of Stan Lee no matter what it was.
Yeah.
And I could respect a man like that. That means he understood his platform.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to touch as many people as he could. I saw something that he actually sent a little video clip to one of Russell Peters' kids.
That's for awesome.
His birthday and shit. Kind of dude he was.
Yeah, made that kid's year of life, man.
And that's the kind of dude he was. What binds him to want to do that?
Exactly.
Nothing other than the content of his heart, knowing that that simple 20-second video put a huge smile on a kid's face.
Yeah. He was super appreciative. Fans, just the acceptance of his life's work, because to the core of, to your point, to go off of that, the storytelling, that's where it was all in. Whether it was the actual physical comics, the cartoons we grew up watching on, Fox and all the other networks, it was all in the storytelling and how it related. Obviously, everyone had different ways they, perceived it, took it in, but at the end of the day, after watching that or reading a comic, there was just basically that sense, that feeling that there was nothing that you couldn't conquer and accomplish.
And you know what? I'm so glad you hit that, bro, because again, it's like for me, I don't knock people that just go to theaters and shit because it's date night. And this is something that's gonna pass the good betterment of the next 150 minutes. Or because some of these movies are long. They can go 2 hours plus or whatever. But say this on average 160 minutes, whatever. But what these fucking comics and these friggin' superheroes and all these characters he built is this, it made you feel as if you could fucking do anything. Obviously you're not gonna try to jump from building to building like Spider-Man. Relax. No one's trying to super Dave their life or anything. But knowing that entertainment value of that and just getting the self-esteem and confidence. You can overcome any type of adversity. You understand what I'm saying? Watching these superheroes and just knowing that, for me, Twist knows this, Wolverine's my guy.
Facts.
Is my fucking guy. Yes, facts. You're wearing that shit. That's my favorite fucking superhero ever. ever. And just because even when you look at things like Logan, even like
Leon,
like
vacation homes in Canada,
that too, right? Like being an original Canadian citizen that. He's like the most loyal motherfucker in any room you put him in.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? Like,
change.
You didn't really like the way he came off at times. You didn't like his approach. I mean, sometimes he's maybe too aggressive and shit, but yo, he always was willing to ride once he threw up that fucking X.
Yeah, for sure.
Once he knew, he's like, yo, where you need me?
Yeah.
It's not a matter why you need me. He's like, yo, where do you need me and when?
Yeah.
I mean, so that a sense of loyalty and camaraderie, and like that, I get that from Wolverine.
Yeah.
And just being thick, yo, being fearless. Not like, yo, I'm about to run into traffic with an 18-wheeler, and me, I'm about to act like I'm Denzel in Training Day. None of that shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm human, but having that as your superhero, like, yo, you can overcome anything.
For sure.
What's a soft friggin' roadblock? I'll overcome that shit. You know what I mean? Like, just the life lessons and just feeling you can do anything is what really resonated with the characters and the general public in regards to the creations of Stan Lee. Cause I've seen Pete Rock freaking, like, you know what I mean, like Ghostface, Mr. Tony Starks,
yep.
You know what I mean, just everybody. Swiss Beats is like, yo, these are grown men older than us, well into their 40s.
Yeah,
I mean, talking about
that,
what, and especially,
you know?
I think Pete Rock took that harder than anybody.
Oh yeah, that guy, he loves it. Like
he went on like a good 12-15 post straight.
Like, yeah, he fans out more than his kids do, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's all about the comics, you know.
You know what I'm saying? And that this is show that a man, I mean, instead of just like, of course, don't get it twisted. Like, he got paid to do what he did and build that brand.
Of course.
You know, but any check he got, he felt good about that. Just knowing that he was doing so much more for culture and society.
Yeah, like, what did the Joker say in The Dark Knight? When you're good at something, never do it for free. But that wasn't, like, you know, Stan's philosophy. You know, he did it for the love of it, right?
Of course. You know what I mean? And it's dope when you're in a position where you can do what you love and do what God's gifted you as a blessed talent. And be able to monetize that and, you know, reap the fruits of your labor. But I don't know, man. It's crazy because for the past couple of years, me and one of my OGs were having to discuss it. Not even, like, calling death on Stanley, because obviously you knew he's in his 90s and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, yo, how's the world going to react when this man passes? Just seeing, I mean, what happened with Aretha and Prince, and I mean, even though these are musicians, like, these are freaking icons.
Yep.
Is that what I'm saying? So, I don't feel like Stan Lee was cheated in regards to people not understanding his value. Like, anybody with any common sense and will understand the grassroots and the origins of anything will pay fucking homage to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like motherfuckers that they like basketball, but even I saw a dude the other day, man, completely going off of Stan Lee. My bad, but one of these guys were talking about Andrew Wiggins. I forgot his name. One of these U.S. broadcasters.
Mark J. Spears?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And he said that if Andrew Wiggins grew up in the United States of America, maybe he wouldn't be so soft. That
ignorant
as fuck.
He used to get a death eyes for real.
Ignorant, fuckboy of the year, whatever, but he doesn't know basketball.
Nah.
Fun fact, Dr. James Naismith is fucking Canadian.
Right?
So this freaking sport that has LeBron and these niggas getting 30 plus million a year and all that started from a Canadian dude with a fucking peach basket.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, I mean, that's what gave him the grit. You feel me? Like, I don't think being Canadian, you ever watch hockey, motherfucker?
Clearly not.
Right? You understand what I'm saying? But for anybody that really understands the grassroots origins of who the hell Stan Lee was, my man got his props. A lot of kids only know him as the guy that made the cameos in all the Marvel movies.
Yeah, but his legacy runs a lot deeper than that.
It does. It definitely does.
You know, and like, back in the day, even like when we were younger, like even just kind of reading a comic book, you know, whether, you know, it's that girl that maybe you liked or her group of friends, that was considered the nerd thing to do. But really, you're just getting lost in your thoughts and then admiring the detail and the illustration. Like I mentioned earlier, the storytelling. So like, you know, it was obviously a select group of people that was really into comics for sure in the height, I would say more so in the 70s, even before time, and in the 80s, and then by the time the 90s when, you know, technology and CGI caught up to that, they were able to translate the stuff off the pages onto the screen, you know what I mean? So I think that's when it really started taking off, because this all predates even Comic-Con, which is a monster, you know, and even Fan Expo that happens here every year and other places as well, too. So to see, like, that Stan Lee's, like, contributions, you know, get appreciated on a global scale from different, just different walks of life, different races, different friends, no matter what the age, people that grew up with the stuff, you know, from when they were little reading comics, that are now able to take their kids to the movie theater to watch these same characters that they read in comics on the big screen. That's like, it's full circle.
Full circle.
Nothing's more, you know, as, you know, as someone in Stan Lee's shoes, or, you know, nothing probably was more gratifying for him for that. It's just like, wow, you know, all those years go by and people still appreciate my work, and the fact that, you know, they still want to involve me and I have fun with it, you know, being myself, you know, just doing these cameos. Because he's been in, 20 cameos in total. Yeah, 20 cameos in total. I'm pretty sure the last two movies that are coming out next year, Captain Marvel and the second part of Avengers 4, are probably going to be his last. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that kind of brings me into what I was going to ask you next. What would you say is one of your standout or your favorite Stan Lee cameo in any of the movies? Not to put you on the spot if you don't already know.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite one?
I have a few, but I'm gonna let you answer first.
Jesus Christ. Because you always popped up in, like, the room and be like, motherfuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was added as a little comic relief at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, favorite one? See, this is why maybe instead of, I mean, having natural live conversations, maybe we should, I mean, come off kind of scripted. I'm playing. I'm gonna let you go first, because maybe you might trigger one for me.
Yeah, okay.
Out of your list.
That's cool. Like, definitely for, like, one of my favorites, like the second Avengers, Age of Ultron, where, yo, he was just at the bar drinking, he was like shit faced, and they had to escort him out. Like, I was joking. I'm like, yo, of all the cameos, this guy decides to do that, you know? So he had no shave and showed himself vulnerable and having fun with it. So that one I definitely like. Obviously, by default, you already know, even though he didn't create this character, is definitely my favorite Marvel character, Deadpool. I love this cameo in the Deadpool movie.
Tell everyone how favorite of a character Deadpool is for you, to what extreme?
I may or may not have that dude inked on my body. You know,
that's commitment.
You know, put a tat on it so I know it's real, you know.
I got a DMX X on my bicep, so it is what it is. You
and that along with the Punisher too, which was another character that he didn't, you know, obviously create directly, but obviously influenced to, you know, who created him, also tattooed on my body. And yeah, I would say those are my two definitely more standout cameos in his appearances. And I just like that, you know, even though they're doing these big budget movies, that they always know to go back to the source that started all of it and have him, you know, have his fingerprints on it and involved to some degree. So
it's so dope, because, like, as soon as you said it, I put Man of Ramona and started laughing, because I didn't want that to make it seem as it was my easiest go-to.
Yeah.
But the bar like,
yeah,
that was my to go, like, yo, motherfucker, because, like, I'll never forget, like, dying in my loud, you heard my loud, ignorant Rex still laugh. You know what I mean? So I remember when that shit happened, I was dying. I'm like, this motherfucker could never fail me, right? But that was definitely my go-to.
Yeah.
At the end of a bunch of other little random pop-ups, you know what I mean?
Like, that,
I
felt, the FedEx delivery guy. And
that, felt, like, yeah, exactly. I felt like, I'm like, yo, they're timing. And I'm like, man, I'm like, well played, nigga, well played. You know what I mean? But, nah, salute to that guy, because he could always show that, no matter how big his success was, that he was never into himself that much where he could not have fun at his own expense.
Of course.
You know, and I think that's a really humbling, selfless attribute that a lot of people don't have. It's like, nowadays, you look at all the social media, a lot of people are too cool for school to be able to, I mean, that people laugh at their own expense. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even think about how the real origin of a real comedians came about.
That's
right.
You
know what I mean? Like, you had to really be able to, you know what I mean, make fun of yourself and be laughed at as much as you can get people to laugh at others. You know, so it's a different generation of comedians and shit like that. But, you know, Stan always, I felt always, you know what I mean, was appreciative in the moment. And, you know what I mean, just,
yeah, it's like time froze, like, you know, stood still for him. And, like, make no mistakes, like, his work and his contributions are going to be celebrated for decades on decades, and it's
while we're gone.
Exactly, like our kids
whatever the clock asks for that. But I mean, let's just say it's entertained like another 60 plus years from now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, his run is going to be
continuous. It's there, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's crazy when you build something that's always going to stand the test of time. Stan Lee, Wu-Tang.
Who we call the real life Avengers.
Man, fuck. I mean, no one.
I mean, and Ghostface, Tony Stark, Iron Man, right?
Like, don't argue with me, man. A lot of people like to argue for arguing purposes, but I like to shut
shit. For all intents and purposes.
I like to shut shit down because I feel like a real asshole. Yeah. Shutting people down. Yeah. Like, I don't buy that. But when you build something that's so timeless, like, that's what we always talk about too. A lot of people throw around the word classic, and it's coming from a generation where there were pipelines and governance, and I mean, there's a real filtration system to even get that word honored. Like, I want to hear you guys talking about the shit you guys are calling classic, not even like 10 years from now. Let's give it 2-3.
Yeah.
And is that what I'm saying? That you should be able to still watch something and play something and still have that, like, boom, Coming to America. Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
How many times have you watched that?
Like at least a dozen times, if that more.
Me, a dozen to 16, and every time I watch it, like I watched it the first time. It
still has the same effect.
Those are what classics are, things that stand the test of time, that don't lose value. You're not watching it and feeling like, oh, you know what? That's not so funny. Or, you know what? Yeah, what was I fucking with that before? Like, you're at the point you're second guessing and you're breaking things down. Like, everything Stanley. I mean, obviously, a lot of all the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many. That's why, like, to the selection of it. Right? Because not everyone's going to like every character.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people fuck with Ant-Man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But they love Captain America.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Having the variety also, too. Because maybe while we were growing up in that time, like, where all the fuck are these characters coming from? Right? Like, what the hell, like, the way they're being introduced to us, or how we're, how we're taking in the comic books and shit. Yeah. But it's the variety, right? Just like music and like sports, right? Like, contrary to belief, a lot of motherfuckers never liked Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
They like Clyde Drexler. They like Magic Johnson. They like Larry Bird. They didn't like his flash or the tongue out.
The less finesse, right?
Like a lot of dudes never liked
like
MJ.
The workhorses, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just having the variety of superstar. Mm-hmm. I mean, some motherfuckers like Charles Barkley, David Robinson, but I'm saying this even with the comic book characters. You like X-Men, all right, cool. Some people don't only like Fantastic Four.
Maybe for good reason. A little bland, right?
Yeah, right. But just the variety and the selection that he gave, I mean, it kind of just also too, just go to show that, I mean, everybody looks at things from a different lens.
Yeah. And
I don't know, man. Those kind of people, that's like a Stan Lee, he definitely should be celebrated.
In rare air, man. Because
the world realizes that there'll never be another. You know, like, there'll never be another. Like, there could be something that might come as an honorary runner-up participation medal type nigga. But Stan, like, that's why we call him Stan the Man.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely in rare air. And, like, even when the news was fresh and it just broke and what came out and whatnot, to Cheryl's earlier point when we started the top of this episode, I got hit with, like, 7 to 10 DMs just sharing the news to me, because people know, like, you know, when it comes to this comic thing, I don't play, like, you know, like, I've grown with it, define certain parts of my characteristics and how I am a person, little quirky, my humor in a sense, which is very similar to, like, Deadpool in that sense. I can be potty mouth, but, you know, for his body of work and just the influence that he's had just on, just not even me directly, just everybody that has ever picked up a comic book or gone to see one of his movies representing any of his characters, you only got just like a small smidget of this guy's, like, brilliance, you know, just pure genius, man, to be able to just, you know, think of these characters, make them relatable on a life scale, you know, and these life lessons that you got to really, like, you know, that anything is possible, because superhero doesn't mean you necessarily got to have superpowers or do anything that's impossible, but it just means, just, you know, getting an A+ on that test.
Yeah.
you know, winning the team championship for your basketball league. All those are little triumphs, and I think that's the overall message that Stan Lee was trying to bring to fans, readers, watchers, globally, that, you know, superhero is doesn't mean that you have to have superpowers, but is break it down to the human component, that small triumphs is like a win. It is like you have a cape on, you know? That's the real cape, you know, not these MAGA hats.
Yeah, man, like, that was a real dude, man, and he obviously everyone knows that, I mean, he's just generally, you know, a Caucasian old dude, but like, his heart was pure. You understand what I'm saying? And, yep, like, he wasn't with the fuckery. Like, you could tell, like, things like with the current climate of the United States and shit. And those things probably bothered the hell out of him.
For sure.
You understand what I'm saying? Just knowing who he is as a man. It's like, I mean, like, don't, because of someone's ignorant actions, you probably just think you want to classify that all Caucasians are like that. He's not like that.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have to fall on that sword, I mean, having the heart of gold that he did.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, actually, if I can, I mean, while on here, I actually want to play some dope audio clips that I actually found of Stan Lee.
I was going to, yeah. You want to start it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, of course, I got
Tony
some,
Wright.
Man. I got some.
What I enjoy doing. It's like other men like to play golf, so they play golf every chance they can. So you don't say to them, how come you're playing golf today? You played last week. It was the same with me. To me, it is such fun creating characters, writing stories. It's an exciting life. And when you do something that you know the fans seem to enjoy, that gives you such satisfaction, you don't want to stop. Being interested in what you're doing. I know my father, the poor guy, it was during the Depression, and he was out of work most of the time. So his life was shorter, and it was because there was nothing really that he was doing that could interest him. But I think if you do what really excites you, it just keeps you going as long as possible. Believe it or not, I'm doing what I am. Believe it or not, I almost never have been stuck on anything. Writing comes very easily to me. Everything else in the world is tough. But writing, I don't have any problem with that. I can't write fast enough to keep up with the things I want to say. I think whatever you do, you should do what you most want to do and what you're best at. Too many people don't really do what their heart's desire is, but they try to do something else because they think, well, it'll be easy to get a job or to make money. And if that happens, then when you're doing it, you feel like you're working. But if you do what you really want to do, you feel like you're playing. It's easier for you to do. I know I wanted to be a musician when I was young, but I had no talent for it. Believe it or not, I had a time trying to be a musician. I'd have either been a failure or I'd have been just an ordinary musician. But I love writing also, and it came easier to me, so I figured I'd stay with that.
Listen, man. Like,
there's
like,
so many gems in like those me, audio clips.
Yeah, because it's like, I talk like that. And yeah. It's just so crazy. Like, our generation is that a lot of people that don't have the same hobbies and likes, and then walk in the same size 12s or 11s as Mazik, you won't understand the how someone's mindset's constructed. But when, like, this is someone that we idolize, you understand what I'm saying? And he's talking about just doing things wholeheartedly and with passion, and that meaning, like, once you do something that, like, you love and that you're passionate about, like, as I said, it's a difference with living and being alive.
100%.
You understand what I'm saying? And, like, those words is hearing, like, people that you respect and, like, people that you think are iconic speak like that. That gives you the positive reinforcement. That mean when you're going down your lane and your trek in life. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's times where, I mean, you'll hit a roadblock, or you might get writer's block, or you might your creativity might get stumped. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? But it's all about persevering, not feeling burdened.
Pushing through,
I mean, coming through adversity. And that, just hearing him speak like that, those are his thoughts, and he made sure that was conveyed through his characters.
Yep.
So, like, as I'm saying, like, everyone can go to the movies and just watch it for the explosions and the graphics, but there are a lot more lessons that were being compacted into the entertainment he's giving us. Like, I feel like our generation got a lot of edutainment, I call it.
That's nice, yeah. That's
right?
The best way to put it.
Where you're being educated and entertained all in the same breath.
Intertwined, yeah.
Like, we're just not, okay, I need to kill half an hour or whatever. It's like, think about it. I always bring up the example, and it's like, you should be in school for like 8+ fucking hours.
Yeah.
But yet you're rushing home to watch Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Right.
They found a way to manipulate us, make us want to learn.
Yeah.
Outside of learning in a fucking classroom. You understand what I'm saying? It's like everything that proposed to us as entertainment had a gem in it. You understand what I'm saying? So those words from Stan Lee, they're crazy. And I got that video saved. And I mean, whether it's, if I get the time, if I just get the time to just break away, whether it's once a week, at least 2-3 times a month, I'm going to watch that. I mean, because that's just the coaching that I need.
Yep.
In regards to, you know what I mean, just staying focused.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
I mean, just never coming off guard. Because, yeah, like, once you do things that you're passionate about and things that have
it doesn't feel
your
like
heart and desire. Yeah, and I think that's important, right? Like, I feel like we've all been in those situations where, you know, we do what we need to, you know what I mean? Because it's a survival tactic, you know what I'm saying? And it's all about getting yourself to the point where, you know what I mean, you wake up not feeling burdened and, I mean, saying, I mean, it's good. And, like, I talk to you, know what I mean, just the ability to break away for, like, 2-3 weeks and shit like that. And it's like, that's the end game, and that's what you work towards. But, I mean, how do you get there? Okay, cool. No handouts. Mm-hmm. No one's going to, I mean, write the answers on the mirror for you. Or, I mean, it's like, yo, just watch the people before you.
Yeah.
The Stan Lees, I mean, how Magic Johnson, and most times somebody, I mean, would have got diagnosed with AIDS or whatever the case, maybe HIV, would have jumped out the window. Now this motherfucker owns a bunch of Burger Kings, Starbucks, I mean, Dodgers, Lakers. I mean, like, it's just finding a way to just push through things and add more value and recreate. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I definitely have to rate the OGs, and I never disrespect OGs. This episode, I don't know, we're almost like on episode 40. We're in the high 30s right now. Yeah. And my narrative's been the same. That's why you're not going to see me here talking about, like, this man, like, he don't mean shit. He means everything. I mean, just not to me, just not to twist to a bunch of people. I mean, so you may not understand it, because nothing in this generation, whether it's late teens, early 20s, whatever, will mirror Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. Nothing looks like that. I mean, everyone's doing things for clout and all this. This man just made himself accessible to the world, said, here I am. And is that what I'm saying? And I'm going to give you guys, I mean, these blessings, because as he said, like, it was more the fact that his pen kept going off the paper. He had more things to write than he was actually able to write.
He didn't have enough errands, basically.
Yeah, is that what I'm saying? But
when them creative juices flowing, that's the ripple effect, you know what I'm
right?
saying?
And then through his creative juices and stuff like that, we were blessed with so many gifts and gems. And I look at that, like, look what Black Panther did. Kicked down the fucking doors for Black Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
And as I'm saying, even to my point, it's like, yo, I'm tired of hearing, as I told you, Black Panther came out after we had an episode, I mean, the excuses are out the window. like, it's out the window. You have the black director, you know, the black stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, salute, you know what I mean? Even like, because now it's a salute to Michael B. Jordan, you know what I mean? Winning GQ Man of the Year and all that. That does not happen without Black Panther.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Yeah, and shout out to Chadwick Boseman, too. I seen the tribute that he did for Stan Lee from I think his Twitter page, where he played, like, the bongos a little bit, you know, kind of like the Wakanda theme. And at the end, he basically said that's his send-off, you know, for Stan Lee, and that he knows that he loved Joan, which was his late wife that passed away last year. So, you know, they're definitely reunited now. So I just love just how everyone even...
reunited, and it feels so good.
Exactly. Yeah, I just love how everyone in the MCU, you know, whether it be Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo.
Let's be clear, man. Like, Robert Downey Jr. was a lot to Stan Lee.
Resurrected, like, his career, basically.
I am tired of Iron Man.
That's probably to a degree, too.
Like, I am tired of Iron Man, bro.
Yeah.
Because, like, every Avengers, every fucking, I feel like, other than, like, the Thors and shit, every movie turns into an Iron Man movie.
Very eccentric mix, like Wolverine, right, with the X-Men movie.
I don't mind that. But
I have to play devil's advocate.
I'm biased. Yeah. No. At the point, I was like, okay, like, enough of this shit with Wolverine. Even as much as I enjoy the character. Like, shout out Hugh Jackman, who also showed a love and appreciation to Stanley, too.
Exactly.
And, you know, Ryan Reynolds as well, right? It's like, yeah. I don't know, man. It's like, you can't, and if you don't understand it, then... like, no one's knocking you, but don't act like people are overreacting. I've seen some people like, oh, like, nobody... don't get it twisted. Man's 95.
Yeah, he was 5 years
old. Like, a lot of people passing, like, if you get to see your late 70s, you're blessed.
Yeah, you know...
He was almost 100.
Exactly. You know who I compared Stan Lee to, too, is just as, you know, someone that's obviously a little bit more advanced, obviously in their age, but still having fun. Like, if they're still 25, is Betty White, man.
Facts.
Like, you know...
I love just, Betty White. You know, just she's, like, she's a gangster.
She is, man.
She has a lot of more world credit than a lot of you dudes, man. Like, she's an OG's OG.
Yeah, like, very much in the same sense that Stan Lee was. You know, and just doesn't matter the age, just enjoying what you do and making sure, like, you just making people feel good about themselves, you know, turning people's days around, their mood, making them less stressed. And, like, the main takeaway, because we can talk about Stan Lee for the rest of the day, the rest of the night, going into tomorrow for the sunset.
I feel like we should, but time doesn't permit.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind, like.
Neither would I.
It's like all you motherfuckers stay and watch, like, cricket matches for, like, 8, 12 hours.
Exactly.
We can hit you some Stan Lee like that.
And, like, his whole thing is, too, is just not to really box yourself in and that thinking that nothing's not achievable. Like, think big, because you got to reach and grab that upper brass, and if you fail, that's cool. Don't, you know, walk around with disdain in your heart. Just have a smile on your face, man, because when you finally, you know, get over that hurdle and grab that brass ring, wear that like a badge of honor, and that's, like I said earlier, the true triumph. And that's when you're your own real life superhero, you know what I'm saying?
It's crazy because it's like, I think you brought up the example of Betty White. And obviously, I mean, even like us, we're in our 30s and shit. I can say me in my 30s is not me at 19.
No.
Like at 19, I was able...
two different lifelines.
At 19, I was able to stay up till 7 a.m. We call that bleaching on the block.
Oh, I've heard
so
that
like,
in a while.
So we had this thing where it's like, some random times we'd be like, yo, whoever can like bleach the latest, and I mean, gets a six-pack in the morning. And just for like a six pack of Heineken, I stay up to like 7:30 in the morning, bro. Yeah. Morning breath, everything. Just make sure I'm not the one whose head's barking.
Yeah.
And tell manager, I'll be back for my six pack by noon.
Yeah.
And is that what I'm saying? So at certain later parts in our life, we can't do the things we used to do as kids because our health's different.
Yeah.
Our bodies start to fail. Sleep is of the essence. Yeah. Right? Betty White, Stan Lee is like, yo, they their age never mattered.
Nope.
They acted however old they felt. So Betty White still acted like she's in her 40s, 30s.
Yeah.
And on some cougar shit, like, she might get it on some Dr. Sue Johansson, right?
Leave Dr. Sue out of this.
Never, bro. You know that even from our college days. Yeah. That's a feist. You can get it. Her and Romer, that'd be my threesome.
Oh, my God.
But,
I open the plug.
My bad, Stanley. My bad. My bad, Stanley. But even when you were alive, I was a dirtbag. So I don't want to change because you're gone. You know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? Like, you especially, like, you here being young and vibrant. vibrant. Like, you're not breaking strides. Like, you're still being this goofball. Even like as Twist mentioned, because in the Avengers, I'll never forget that scene in the bar. This guy was like, he couldn't even stand up.
Yeah, had to carry him up.
You're like, what the entire fuck? Like, I mean, like, this guy's on a different kind of turn up, right?
But I would have loved to be a fly on the wall just to see how like they come up with these scenarios for different cameos.
And I want
to
see how many takes that took. With a bunch of people laughing on set. Like, yeah. Certain things I was like, I couldn't be on set.
I wonder if some stuff's probably on the DVDs, on the extras, maybe.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So, that man right there, man, kind of gave everybody the blueprint how to live. You know, just... You, like, again, like, I don't think everyone is more shocked, right? It was more of the gut punch aspect. I don't think anybody, I mean, was, like, that torn or, like, pissed. It's kind of like, yo, we got to... appreciate this man's greatness while he was here. He got to see the benefits of look what Marvel's done. And Marvel has kind of just made DC just sit in the corner. You understand what I'm saying? Just with the strangleholds and the meaning, just the grasp and the dominance. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Marvel's had very few misses other than a couple Hulks.
Mm-hmm. And they're the biggest draws right now, basically, in Hollywood, man.
Understand what I'm saying? So, and even to the point where they're, like, able to go finesse, like, do some TV-type aspects of it, right? Like, they got
Daredevil's killing it.
That and someone on FX. No, that's not the Legion.
Yeah, that's, I think, yeah, my sister, like, takes that in. Another one, yeah.
So, and again, it's great. I was talking about something, too. And even these aspects were, like, being able to do the... successful crossover into the TV type series is that we had this discussion because, you know, you and Mr. IMDb and all that, right? Is that once upon a time, if you're a movie star, making a crossover into TV was frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're getting TV checks. I mean, that's a step down. That's not really Hollywood TV.
You almost say it's reversed now.
Right? And it's completely fucking reversed.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, like, how less we forget. Like, that was the point at one time where motherfuckers were getting questioned, like, yo, like, your agent's not doing his work. Like, you really got to go to TV.
Yeah.
But now, like, some of the biggest mainstays and all that are TV.
Sure.
As opposed to, I mean, being... movies where it get heavily bootlegged. I mean, like, the studios put up more than they bring back.
Yeah.
I mean, so the risk and reward don't really cancel out.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? So, and that comes too from, like, those Punishers,
yep,
Daredevils, things like that. So, and I mean, Stan Lee, again, for me personally, like, I don't think, and again, I'm not, you know, to each his own, he could call it an opinion, but, like, you can't be a creative and not appreciate creators.
100%, man.
I consider myself a creative.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's through photography, you know, videography with you, you know what I mean, whatever it is. And, like, I appreciate everything and everyone around me that resembles a creator, especially because they lay blueprints and they, again, he opened up our eyes and gave us just the burning desire within it. I can fucking do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all these freaking comics were telling us.
Yep.
All these superheroes that no matter what fucked up, sticky situation they were in.
And they weren't hitting messages, they were right in front of them.
They came out of it.
Yep.
It wasn't hard. You had to take on a few villains along the way, I mean. You might have to face some turmoil, I mean. You had to lose your Uncle Ben, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, now it's real life.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, you know, those things need to fuel you. I mean, you have to carry on a legacy.
Yeah.
This person was here, they'd want you to move on and be the better of yourself, not regress.
Yeah.
And these are the things that's being proposed to us in cartoons, teaching us how to deal with death early, like a whole bunch of gems. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, like, you'll never hear me speak bad on that man's name. Don't get cute with that man's name around me. There's certain people that are exempt. I don't, like, it's like people can't talk shit about Michael Jackson around me. I don't care when they hear about no little pet. Like, certain, don't get cute with that shit. Stanley's a man, no one, you're never gonna hear I was in the same room and someone disrespected that man's name without experiencing my ether. Cause I ride for that nigga.
Yep.
I mean, I say nigga because, I mean, he care for black people more than some black people care for black people. He gets that black card from me. Yeah. I'm saying, like, Stan Lee was a real one. Like, he knew what was going on. Yep. You look at all the celebrities that are really affected by this. Like, yo, he raised. I mean, like, it takes a small village to raise a child.
Yep.
I mean, like, he brought the village.
Yep.
To us.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? So salute to that man, man. Like, that, I don't know. It's still. I mean, it's been a couple of days.
And it still stings, man. It's still fresh, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, the body of work that he's left behind, there's no shortage, ample, a plethora of things to hang on to and just go back to, whether it's reading stuff, watching the shows and the movies. So definitely, like, his contributions will not fade. We're going to remember him. He's going to be celebrated. So it's one of those bittersweet things. And so I think it's probably the best just to end things off with this, because there's a video that surfaced on his official Twitter earlier today, one of his final videos where he's just kind of talking about the impact of fans and his appreciation for fans. So I'm just going to play some of the audio if you haven't had a chance to hear it yourself.
Stab the man.
The fans love your sense of humor, and it's
an equal love fest, because I love my fans. I cannot tell you how much I love my fans. They sometimes at night I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what's it all about, you know? And then I get a letter from a fan, or I read something, or I see something, or I remember something, and I realize it's so lucky to have fans, fans who really care about you. And that's the reason I care so much about the fans, because they just, they make me feel so great. And there's something, if you think about it, that is wonderful about somebody caring about you as I care about them, whom you've never met, who may live in another part of the world, but they care, and you have something in common, and occasionally you contact each other. And this business of fans, I think, is terrific. And I love them all.
From the man himself, yeah.
There's not really much more that we need to add to that, man. Like, again, he was very aware and in touch with his fan base, and that's basically what fueled him to keep going and keep creating, really. So, on my side, man, thank you. Thanks. Can't thank you enough, actually, Stan, for everything that you've left behind, man. Like, I got so many different things in my apartment that remind me of your work. And
no fucking lies told there.
Yeah, man, whether it's, you know, my crazy
no lies collection told there. Or, I provoked him to do that. My bad.
Yeah, it's kind of an obsession.
I never show niggas online shopping.
But yeah, man, Stan, man, salute to the OG, man. Stan the man.
And for me now, nah, definitely thank you, man, because as I said, it's like, I mean, like, I love, like, well, my favorite theme songs are the Spider-Man theme songs.
Spider-Man.
And I mean, the old X-Men. Like the Fox on Saturday afternoons. Like, you made snow days interesting for me on a Saturday when I wanted to go outside. You know what I mean? I had a routine on Saturdays. I mean, and you definitely took a large part of that. So, and even as a grown man, being able to bring the youth them to me. My kids, I watched Black Panther twice. I watched it once. They went one with grandma. Mm-hmm. I mean, so just to see that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Just to see how the generational impact you have. So salute to an OG. You were fucking selfless beyond measure. To know that what kept you going was the love. And that's what's so crazy, too, is that some people do things for the wrong reason, right? Some people do things for popularity and fame and money. And I mean, the money aspect, of course, you want to be paid for the things you do. But knowing people appreciate and fuck with the things you do on a genuine human level, that is the biggest reward ever. And I could relate, just know what I mean, like seeing certain niggas rock my shit and all that. Like, niggas need to know that I made that shit by hand. You know what I mean? Like, you fuck with that, salute. So to know that it's his ideas that float from pen to paper, that he was, I mean, being able to give a visual interpretation to, like, to know the fans loved him and they rode him, and every time they had an opportunity, try to stop him on the street and just, I mean, let him feel loved. You know what I mean? That's what I feel, Lemmy, while you're in your final resting place. Those are the thoughts you carry with you. So salute from me, man, and everybody that comes from our cloth that just knows the value and the impact you've added to our life, because of you, navigating through life isn't that hard, you know what I mean? Because you've showed us things through, as I said, edutainment. So salute Stan the Man, the OG, all day.
And for sure, like to follow up with what you just said, definitely our thoughts and prayers goes out to his family.
Of course.
And his daughters. He survived by his two daughters, Jan Lee and J.C. Lee, Joan Celia Lee. She had mentioned that he was working on one new superhero, final superhero called Dirtman. So we'll see, you know, if that resurrects. So definitely Stan Lee, man, can't thank you enough. 1922 to 2018.
Legend, rest in power. Icon, all day.